Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight. My name is Demetria.
And I am Tanya. Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday.
Yes, we are back again. So glad to be talking on the air one more time. One more Tuesday.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So a very full day that's not over yet. Like, even after we get off the air, there's still a little more that I need to do to finish out this day, but it's all good.
Yeah. I was putting a towel in the bathroom in the shower area, so I stopped so I can jump on the phone. So I'm with you. A lot more to be done once we get off the air, but it's all good.
Yeah, it is. It is. How's your project going?
It's going wonderfully. It really is. Like I said before, I can't wait until you see it.
Yeah, I started a project of my own last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So just a refurbishing job. My daughter
furniture?
And I, we went
is
out.
And,
yeah, an end table that I'm going to strip and paint. My daughter and I hit the Goodwill stores last Friday looking for something that was going to speak to me and inspire me. And I found a little piece for $7, and I'm going to see what I can make of it. So I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that again.
What is it?
It's an end table. It's an end table. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm actually gonna redo it and put it on the patio. So it's just my first little foray at this type of thing, and let's see how I do.
Yeah, let me know how that works out. It's always relaxing. Turn up the radio I know you love music. So like just turn up the radio and just go at it.
Yeah, I couldn't just continue with it. I started it last Saturday, so I won't be able to get back to it until this Saturday. But so I'm just going to take my time, not rush myself, and just enjoy the process. Yeah, so like I said, we'll see what comes of that and if it's something that I'll do again. I think it will be. I'm kind of excited about it. Something I haven't done before.
Yeah, it's to me. It's always relaxing when you you know, furniture. I've sanded my kitchen cabinets before, my older cabinets, a while back when I first moved into the house. And it was, I did not know what I was doing, Missy, but it was fun. Needless to say, I found some chairs at a porch sale that we have annually here in my neighborhood, the Algiers porch sale, and got some chairs and sanded those and painted them, changed the covers on them, the cushion, well, really the cover to the cushion. And so, yeah, it was fun. I did not know what I was doing. I stressed that. So it's okay if you don't know what you're doing. You just have fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and for $7, I mean, come on.
Yeah. And there's so much on the internet now. You can go on the internet and get help. You know, there's so much out there to assist you nowadays. Even Home Depot has these DIY classes that they offer for free. So, you know, it's a lot of help out there.
Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna see how I do at this and if I will be doing more of this type of thing. We shall see. But like I said, it's all good. Good day, long day. But we're here, glad to be here. Thank you, listening audience, for joining in with us and listening to our little post-chat as we kind of break the ice and just kind of, you know, connect with each other before we move on to our broader topic of the night, which is called The Great Pretender. We are talking about pretense and hypocrisy as far as believers are concerned. So we're hoping that you join in with us on this conversation tonight. I do want to go ahead and give you our phone number. If you want to call in, go ahead and dial 347-637-3604. Press the number 1 if you want to talk with us live. We are here and waiting to hear from you. So, Tanya, you want to go ahead and walk us into the topic tonight?
I most certainly do. First, I have a question for you, because as you know, you and I, we do discuss some things, but some things are left for a surprise. How did you come up with that name, that phrasing? When I read it, I was like, okay. And so I just have that question. Maybe that can kind of get us going. But so we were talking about some of the things that are going on currently. Especially with a particular family, family that says that they live by Christian values, and one of the family members has come out, or some information has come out that person has molested some younger girls and also his sisters while he was around 14 years old. And for people who are listening, if you watch a reality TV show, you probably already know what we're talking about, the family that comes on TLC, the Duggars. But Missy, how did you come up with that topic, with that phrasing of the topic, I should say?
The Great Pretender, it just seemed to make sense. It just fit. It was almost an immediate it was just an immediate thought after I read your text message and just kind of pondered it. And I didn't think on it too long, but it was just there. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I didn't labor over it too long. It was
right
there. And again, as I thought about it in a broader sense, of where the conversation could take us and exactly, you know, what that meant to me. And I don't have your text message directly in front of me right now, but whatever it was I read in there, it was just a part of my broader thought, reaching even beyond that family. So that's
just
where
right
it came from.
Right, and we always try to, whenever there's an issue that's out in the public and, you know, getting a lot of attention, we do try our best to not just look at that particular issue, but just, you know, even if it's a person, but just kind of look at it in a broader view, how, because we believe that, you know, this isn't just isolated to that one particular family, right? And
right.
I know the reason I brought it to you was because the first thing that popped out to me when I saw the countless interviews of them trying to rationalize why didn't they mention it before, and over, I just kept hearing that it was a lost opportunity for a testimony. And that was something that really stuck out at me. And one of the things that I tried to convey to you through a text, you know, is just that first thing people will say is that, see, you know, they're those Christians. They point the finger at everyone else and see, aha, they have something going on too. And I just think that, you know, that anything that comes up in our lives, especially when you decide to put yourself out there as a public figure, that you, you know, there shouldn't be a shame part, but a real great opportunity to say how God stepped into that situation and how God helped that family to recover from that situation, or any other family, you know, recover from a situation. So that was one of the things that stuck out to me, that was a missed opportunity for a testimony to just say how that was horrific. That was scary as a parent to know that something like that was going on in a home, and show their human side, you know.
Can you, for the benefit of those listening in and to my own as well, because I'm not that familiar with this family, and I know you gave us the gist of what happened, but what let everybody know why this came out, how it came out, context. We know that something happened. There was a molestation that took place. Why do we know that now?
Well, it seems that someone investigated this family. The more and more I read, someone investigated the family and brought this information out about them. And I also read that the mother had recently been participatory in like a phone recording that goes, I guess, throughout the town where they live. And that recording was speaking against transgenders sharing the restroom with children, and so her voice was recorded, and so this comes out around the same time that all of a sudden she's doing this recording, and she made a comment in that recording that there can be pedophiles that and molesters that go into the bathroom. So I just want to put that out there, and then someone said, let me investigate this, and it came out. The family is in shock because this was something that happened when their son was a juvenile. And, of course, he's a grown man now, married with children. And as a juvenile, certain, I guess, things are supposed to be sealed. And that was something that the dad kept saying, even the mom, you know, people can go and see the interview for themselves. It's just that they don't understand how that this got out, that this is illegal because it was sealed. And just from my standpoint, you know, I understand that we do live, we have laws, but it just, to me, was a missed opportunity to share a testimony of how they all recovered, because this was a whole family that was an entire family that was damaged. And again, they decided to do a reality show and put their lives like out there. That's so scary to do that. Even when you and I had decided to do the show, you know, I don't know if you recall past, you know, conversations that we had in the very beginning. It was just that I knew that, you know, we're now, our voices are being heard outside of just you and I's own comfort zone. And so, you know, there's things that are going to come up, and we're now exposing ourselves. And so, with that being said, I hope I was able to explain it for you guys, but just don't want it to be lost again that it's still an opportunity to share a testimony. And I want to stress that, and I'll hand it over to you, Nisi.
Okay. Like I said before, I know nothing about these people, really nothing, except what I've learned in just the past, really,
several days since the story broke. But from what I understand, they were accused of being hypocrites. Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I can, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just trying to
tie it into our topic tonight with that. So that's where I'm going with that. Go ahead, Tanya.
Oh, okay. If I can, I just wanted to say that when you just mentioned about the hypocrisy part of it, because I remember you when we talked about it a little bit, and that was one of the things you asked. You was like, and you had asked me specifically, so where is the hypocrisy in that? And this whole issue, that was an absolutely wonderful question. And because, again, people, you know, I guess by her doing this voice recording, and that was one of the things that folks were commenting on. And then, so, you know, now your son is a molester, basically. And so what do you say about that, Duggars, you know, kind of pointing the finger? And that's why I thought that was a great time to share with the, you know, the rest of the world how difficult that is, and however they wanted to frame it in their own way of how scary it was and how they can definitely identify with people who can be potential molesters or what have you, or, you know, for her to make that statement, to let it be used as an opportunity and not a way to retreat and feel like you have to be shamed. And I read a comment recently where a guy, he did this whole spiel about Christianity and Islam. And he basically said how, how are Christians to, he's a Christian. And he questioned some of the remarks that Christians will make regarding other religions, okay? And he basically was talking about Islam. And he said, you know, how can you say this when the Quran may say that? And he kind of used terrorism. He was just all over the place. But then he distinctively pointed out the story about Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot was there and the men came to the home to rape the angels that was sent to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I know you're familiar with that story. And he said, and the man was going to turn over his daughters. So it was almost like, and in his comments, he was making it sound like this was something that God said to do. And so he was pointing out how the Bible has things in it that seem immoral. But men decided to do this. And so he mentioned how Lot was going to, you know, say, hey, take my daughters. And then he went on, and I knew, I couldn't wait. I immediately thought about David and his son, Amblesaw, and if I'm saying the other name, Absalom.
Absalom.
Thank you, Misi. Absalom and Amnon. Am I pronouncing that right? The brother who raped his sister Tamar. And he gave this distinct description about that entire story. And I just thought, okay, good. You know, it's good. Now you're showing about a family that has gone through this. But in his comments, he was again almost saying this stuff like as if God said, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. Or Christianity said these are things that happen and we brush it over. And so I just wanted to mention those two stories because those are wonderful examples of human people, these people that were talked about in a biblical day were humans. They're not gods, and they made some very wrong decisions. Where David, come to know about what had happened and he didn't do anything about it. And he ended up, you know, you ended up having two brothers at war with one another. You know, one set out to try to kill the other, and, you know, eventually the other did die. But you saw a demise of a family. And God showed his hand in all of that, where he wasn't happy with David in the way he handled that situation. And you know, even with Lot, you know, God didn't tell Lot to handle his daughters. You see a frantic man that knew this was immoral for, and this is my own opinion and interpretation, know that two men, it wasn't morally right, it wasn't godly right, it wasn't right for a man to sleep with another man. So he's like, take my daughters. Like, I know what y'all are doing is just horrible. And he made a hasty decision. Does not make it right. Again, this is a man making that decision. This was not God. So I just want to preface that. And he even mentioned Bathsheba, the incident with David taking Bathsheba, who was married to someone else, and fathering a child by Bathsheba, as if, again, you know, he's given all these examples and say, oh, hold up, you Christians, you know, you can't say anything about other religions because see what happened. And I'm going, again, but God showed his hand in that. David had blood on his hands because he put a man on the front line to be killed to cover up his sin. And David was not able to then be a part of building God's church. You know, so it was certain things that God said, okay, there's consequences to what you did, and you can't touch my temple. You can't be a part of building that, your blood on your hands. So that is why it's so important for us to read and study on our own and to ask questions, to dig into, you know, God's message, you know, more and more, and ask those questions, you know, if you have some confusion, and not take things for face value. In the Bible, God speaks, and then you see examples of men who are speaking and sharing their lives on how God intervened, you know, in their lives.
Exactly. It's all also a part of what we're willing to let God do in our lives and in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
David was very much he was a good king, he was a great warrior, he was not a good father, you know, and that's just the fact of the matter. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that we can't still look at his life and learn
mm-hmm.
some things and say, okay, this is something I can apply, his great faith
mm-hmm.
in God is, you know, just that. Sometimes we need that warrior spirit where we're like, oh, God gave me the go-ahead to go and conquer or to do this particular thing. There's all kinds of things we can learn. And even from David. David was very much a flawed individual. But when it came right down to it, he knew when it was time to repent. He knew when it was time, when God chastised, he said, I'd rather have you, Lord, chastise me. Let me fall into your hands rather than the hands of my enemy. So it's not like he didn't know that God would deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
He yielded.
Yes.
And I think that's what we need to do more often than not as things are exposed in our own lives. And to be true, they may not be as dramatic as what transpired in David's life back then, but we have things that go on just the same that we might even overlook when it comes to pretenses of playing another role in our lives other than what's our genuine and true self. You know, we've been hearing this a lot lately. People just, you know, be yourself, be true to yourself, be true to yourself. Well, we can be true to ourselves, but if I think the better way to say that is let the Lord lead you. I'm going to go back to my old standby.
That's your saying.
The Lord lead you, because in doing that, and we're yielding to the Spirit and not the flesh, and we're seeking after the Spirit of God and not the flesh, then we won't seek to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's
Absolutely.
Why we fall into a lot of pretense and hypocrisy, even as believers. And Tanyelle, I know that as someone who's been a believer for years and years now,
I'm gonna venture to say anybody's been say 5 years or more, you know how to do this. You know when to raise your hand. You know when to say praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know what to do, when to do, and how to do. And my point in saying that is sometimes that's a pretense. Sometimes that's not really what's going on in our heart, but we know, hey, I may have just cursed my husband out before I left the house, but now it's time to those holy hands up and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That is more of a hypocrisy to me. That's something that I would need to look at myself in the mirror and look and see who the real me is looking back and make the determination of who I want to be. At the end of the day, who do I want to be in Christ? I know who I say I am, but I need to take that closer look to see if I peel back all the pretenses, all the hypocrisy that I know that I'm still able to walk in, and nobody else may know it but me.
But you and God, right? And
right.
You're absolutely right. You just said a mouthful. And just going back to David, because this is, a great example of what we're talking about, and also what got us to this point of even deciding to speak about this. And you said something so true. We can credit David for majority of the Book of Psalms, where he constantly cried out in repentance, constantly cried out for guidance, for correction in his life, for protection, because of some of the things that he did and some things that he didn't cause himself, and he was always running for his life, But in 1 Kings, just to have people go there on your own, near David's death, when he was getting older, he gave Solomon, his son, a charge to follow after God's commandments, basically. And go to First Kings, the second chapter, third verse, and I won't read all of it, time on the show, but he told Solomon, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his way, to keep his statutes and his commandments. So even he recognized, as a bad father, that he was, and he didn't make some good decisions and some good choices for his family, but he knew better, Demetria. And before he left this earth, he's telling his son, who's going to later on become king eventually, that, listen, I need you to walk this way. And it's something that he ended up telling it to the son that he conceived, from being with Bathsheba. Even like you said, David knew best. And I often hear sometimes men who step out or who have issues with womanizing, and I've even said it, like, okay, he's like David. But be like David too, and read about David and find out how he constantly was leaning on God to change and correct his way, and that he knew the way in which he lived was contrary to God. People will often say, David was a man after God's own heart, as if that's some trophy to say, I know I'm a womanizer, but, I'm kind of like David, and David was a man after God's own heart, and God knows my heart. Well, you just don't understand, David, what was going on with David because of some of those choices he made. I mean, he had, his life was just chaotic. This man was constantly on a run, and, as we explain, children just going after one another, trying to kill each other and stuff. And so, yeah, he was seeking God's heart, and God wanted David so much because God already knew the plan he had for David's life. And so, we should not misinterpret or try to use, some of those examples that are placed in the Bible for us, that some of these men and women went through the struggles in their lives, and say that it's okay for us to go through the struggle on purpose. Like, it's okay, that I have that issue because so-and-so, had that issue in the Bible,
Right.
And God was constantly trying to correct that person, was constantly correcting that person.
And the thing is that God really does know our hearts. So we may say it as if a light thing, but Whoa, he really does know what lies there in our hearts. So we shouldn't even just say that lightly, like, you know, some trite thing. Now, you mentioned David and his son Solomon, and that is something that I want to talk about as far as the relationship with parents and their children. We're talking again tonight about pretense and hypocrisy. And there is one thing that I do know, and especially let's just even look at teenagers. Your kids know you. So you mentioned that David charged Solomon, you know, later in his life. But what about after a lifetime of Solomon seeing his dad engage in certain behaviors, and then he comes and I'm gonna give you this charge now. To me, it's on a level not altogether, but it puts in my frame of mind, I'm going to tell my child not to smoke, but I've been a smoker all their life. How seriously is that child going to take me? What I'm saying is we have to be careful when it comes to the pretenses and the hypocrisy, because people are watching, and some of the most important people in our lives, if you have kids, they are the most important. People are watching, and parents, I don't care how old that kid is, you still have great influence in that child's life. And I don't care if they're going through the teenage years and they're acting moody and like they know best about everything else, they're still watching you. They're watching your walk. They're listening to your words. They know if you are a true believer or not. This is a great reason to guard our hearts and minds and take another look in the mirror and just make sure that we are walking worthy of this calling that God has given us, and that mm-hmm. to be believers, to speak in his name, to speak on his behalf, to live a life that we say he is the Lord of. So, again, we're talking about the pretenses and hypocrisies. There's a number of things, not just smoking, but we can tell our kids all kinds of stuff. But if they don't see it lining up in our lives, I dare to say they look at us and say, Mama doesn't believe what she's saying. This is something to be careful of. It's something to be careful of, and kind of put me in mind of that when you were talking about David and Solomon.
I'm going to hold what I have to say to what you just said, because that is so true, Demetria. I know you being a parent, I've heard you. You've told me some conversation about just how certain things you've done, and now you've seen how it's impacted your children. And I mean good stuff. I'm not, you know, just with sometimes mm-hmm. riding in the car with certain, you know, information being put out on the radio, and where you've seen and see it being practiced now in your children's lives as they've become adults. So that is so true. I know we're probably getting ready to segue into a break. In that break, I just want to say David himself recognized that God knows the secrets of our heart. And he, you know, constantly God to search his heart.
Go ahead.
No. That was it. I just said he was constantly asking God to search his heart. So we're going to head into a break, guys, and we will be right back. This is Ministry Along the Way. Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Ministry Along the Way Radio. Thank you for holding on with us throughout our break. We are discussing pretense and hypocrisy on tonight's show. The title is The Great Pretender. Sometimes in life we go through changes. We grow. We start off one place. We grow to another place. And this is all well and good. Sometimes I wonder, though, what causes us in all this growth that we're doing and all this seeking of the Lord that we do, sometimes we get to a point where we're not genuine anymore, if I could say it that way. And we know when we've gotten there. We know when we're just going through the motions. I think that's kind of where what I'm trying to say, to find the right words. Sometimes we do go through the motions. Sometimes we look and we wonder, how did we get to this point? How did I find myself here, just going through the motions at this part in my life? Now, before we went to break, we talked about pretenses as far as our children and people close to us that can see behind the closed doors and know what's really going on with us. I want to kind of explore the question of why the pretense. And before we can kind of jump into that, we're talking about pretense and hypocrisy. I want to say what a hypocrite is before we go further with that. So in my little digging and preparing for the show, I found out that the word hypocrite, it's Greek, and it means back in ancient Greece, it meant an actor who's under an assumed character, a stage player. Sometimes they would have their debates. So one person has to pick a side. They both had the sides to debate. So it's not even to say that one person believed what they were saying, but they had to argue that point to the full. So they were a hypocrite. It wasn't always associated in the negative. That's what I'm wanting to say. It was simply that you were a stage player. You were an actor. You were somebody trying to portray a certain train of thought. So today it's evolved into something quite negative. At least hypocrisy has anyway. Pretense, you know, we can play little pretending games with kids and all of that. So it doesn't carry as heavy a negative sense as hypocrite or hypocrisy. But nonetheless, I just wanted to explore, like, how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point where we're going through the motions maybe, is that we find ourselves pretending. Any thoughts on that, Camille?
Well, you know, I can just say from my own experience as, you know, having been a participant in hypocrisy at some point in my life, sometimes, and even taking that definition, now hearing how it was initially defined, sometimes we create characters or we add on or create situations in our lives because we don't want to own up to what is truly the reality. And so we find ourselves on a cover-up, covering things up, and then we're so good about pointing out some of our own mishaps and other folks. And sometimes, I guess, making you feel good about yourself because somebody's in that same sinking boat with you. And I don't mean in a boat that's floating. I mean a sinking boat with multiple holes in it. And so I think that's where that develops, you know, over time. But, again, you know, as you know better, you do better. And, you know, my prayer is just that people come to a point where they just stop it and start plugging up those holes with truth in your lives, you know. And it's so peaceful when you just start saying those truths and focusing on your own, you know, issues first before pointing the finger at wanting someone to join you in your sinking ship, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, I can see where you know, as I was coming back from the break, I was saying sometimes you start off in one place and you're growing.
Mm-hmm.
So you work toward better goals, toward becoming a better you even. So even to say that some people have engaged in things that were hypocritical or even pretending, I don't want to stick that label because it's all, some of this is part of the growing process. Some of this is realizing
right. You don't have to stay
play that game. I don't have to even play that game, but this has been my track record. This is what I know, so this is what I fall to. And a lot of it, I think, is motivated by fear. Fear, for one, of exposure, let's just be real.
That's good, Nisi. Yeah, that's good.
But
that's
also
good.
But also fear that we may not measure up to an expectation that we might see other people. We just think they are giants in even spiritual matters or just giants in things that we want to be giants in. So we're a little fearful, so we might pretend that we're just as good, just as skilled, just as knowledgeable when we're really not. So in that sense, we can be playing that role of hypocrisy and pretense. The fear factor. Another thing that I can think is just trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to say. You know, you want what somebody else has. You want the prestige. You want the accolades or the popularity or whatever it is. That's another place that I can see that's easy for us to slip into, and we not even recognize it as, I'm falling into hypocrisy right now. These are just things that we want to shine a little mirror on, shine a light on, that we might need to take a little closer look at ourselves, that we as believers can find us in some of these places, in just, again, not realize that maybe I'm just a little off track here. You know what? I do that sometimes. I do operate in fear. I do feel like, oh, this was a prayer warrior over here next to me. This person next door to me, whatever, next door, next office, next person on the pew, wherever. I just feel like I'm just, I'm not as good as them, and I don't want them to know it. I don't want anybody else to know that I don't think as much of myself as I pretend to. So, you know, again, I'm asking that question, why the pretense, why or how we can find ourselves playing the role and not being our true self.
Yeah, and I encourage folks who are out there listening, you can definitely dial in to be a part of the discussion. You don't have to say who you are, but we would love to hear from you. Demetra, you mind giving that phone number one more time?
Certainly. Hang on for me just a second. It's 347-637-3604. And go ahead and press the number 1 if you want to talk with us live.
Yeah. And so, and while we wait for you guys to participate, and don't be shy, you kind of hit a lot of points, Demetria, and one thing that stuck out as you were talking, also sometimes you know, as believers, you may fall into a category where people are labeling you a hypocrite because you may have done something in your life, and now you're telling someone else, like, look, that same particular thing that was your that you needed deliverance from, you may be sharing with someone and saying, look, this is not right. It's not the right road to go. Trust me, I know. And then oftentimes I've heard it. I've heard people say, you know, they want to be a holy roller. They want to be self-righteous or kinds of things like that. And it goes back to the testimony. And, you know, it's okay to share your testimony. It's okay to do it if you're doing it in a place where you're trying to warn someone, if you're trying to, you know, you know, it's coming from a good heart where you're saying, listen, don't go down that same road that I have. Or if they're already down that same road, you're trying to let them know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and that light is getting out of that situation, whatever it may be, and that you were, you know, delivered from that situation. So oftentimes I've heard people that will say, you know, oh, you're being a hypocrite because you did that too. And I just don't want it to be where believers are missing an opportunity to share with someone, and that sharing may be a part of that person's deliverance. And so I always say, you know, share, especially if it's coming from a good place. You know, see, again, let the Lord lead you, like Demetria said. in doing that sharing. So I just want to encourage people. I live shacked up, okay? And I don't mind telling people, look, it's not the right way to go. I did it for so long, and you know, it's not the way to go. It's contrary to what God wants for us, especially, you know, and I speak to women because he wants so much for us, and that, you know, we are queens, and that we should want the best for our lives as well. So it's not a point of a finger, but it's coming from a place that I live that way, and I know that there's no good that comes from it. So it's a standpoint of sharing and my heart being poured out to someone else that I can maybe help. And so I just want to encourage people who may have been called a hypocrite because they're sharing their testimony. Don't be in fear of sharing your testimony.
You know, I just gave a broad definition of where the word hypocrite originally came from. In the context that we speak of it today, we look at people and say, okay, you're doing something contrary to what you talk about, or you're not even abiding by this, but you're saying like you expect other people to. Your walk doesn't measure up with your talk. But a hypocrite, I think, because we're gonna hit it, we're gonna miss it. So that doesn't mean that I can say, you know what, I don't believe in this, I don't agree with this, and it doesn't mean that I won't mess up one day, or I might, you know, whatever you want to call it. The thing is, what am I practicing to do? What's my daily habit? So if you are somebody who's full of pretenses and hypocrisy, and you know that you're pretending to be something that you're not.
Right.
You know you have no intention of becoming that thing that you're saying you are. That's true hypocrisy to me. If you're somebody who's like, God help me with this. I'm trying to walk this out, work this out. You know,
it's
I'm
a struggle
looking
for
that
me.
Day. So. Yeah, there's a difference in that to me. Somebody who's practicing something with no intention of ever changing. I'm just going to be a pretender. I know I am. I'm not even thinking about changing. That shows the true intent and the true content of the heart. Not so much for me looking at you or you looking at me, but more for me looking in a mirror and you looking in your own mirror. That exposes to us the content of our own heart. In that way, we can be truthful with, or we can continue to lie to ourselves. But hopefully, the end result is, you know what? Here's the truth. Stare me in the face. Not like not so we can go point fingers at each other, but so that we can examine our own heart. That's what I really want the takeaway to be from this. Take that long, hard look in the mirror. And as I wrote in the description, I said, discover what may lie just beneath the surface of the faces we see looking back. In other words, take that long, hard look and discover what's in your own heart and decide what you're going to do about it.
That's
all the
good,
while
Demetria.
That the Spirit of God is leading you.
Right.
Don't
and when you brought up this.
Leading you to that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And bringing up the whole parental part of it too, because it's so important, right? Because a lot of things that come out of families, they just continue to fester, right? And you know that aren't good for the family. I want to say those are the things that I'm speaking about. And when we were talking about David and Solomon and that relationship, that wasn't David's only child, but specifically we were talking about Solomon, and he developed those same attributes. That you said something right before the break, and I was trying to hold it after the break, and you know we just got a little we talked about something else, but you said something about it. When a child is watching, you know, David Solomon had to have seen his dad and his actions for such a long time, and now to say, you know, I'm going to charge you with this. Now I am glad that David owned up to. You know, look, I may not have walked right all of the time, but this is what I want you to do, son. Like, he left him something to go on. And so, you know, that's a good thing. But at the same time, you're right. There was so much embedded in his son from having watched his father. And Solomon developed a habit of becoming a womanizer, where he took on women from all types of women that believed in all types of different things that were contrary to God, didn't believe in the God that he grew up to believe in, the creator. And so he had all kind of distractions in his life. And anyone can read that for themselves. And I just want to give people reference.
Right.
And First King, starting with the 11th verse, 11th chapter, and just read about how Solomon was a lover of many strange women, the Bible says. And that
right.
If you go a little bit further down, where God said in verse 9, where it was said in verse 9, where, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart, again, Demetri is talking about the heart, because his heart was turned from the Lord of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So God had gone to him twice, telling him, look, you need to turn your way back to me. I'm not pleased with how you're living. And if you read that story, and we're talking about families and how we should, and what you're saying, Demetri, is we should be good examples for our children, for our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, and, because people are watching us. We're watching each other. And Solomon decided not to be obedient. And God, there were consequences. God raised up a king to go into battle with Solomon. So there's all types of examples, again, how people just like us, they struggled. And, but there's examples of how to overcome those struggles. And we don't have to fall down the same roads or go through those same things. That's why God left us this Bible, so that we can, we can learn. And, man, I wish I would have, got here early on, but I just thank God I am where I am now. I really do.
Right. I mean, every moment is the right moment,
Mm-hmm.
So the moment that your eyes are open, that's the good moment. So one of the reasons that, another reason I should say, that we do want to be careful of the pretenses and the hypocrisy. We've already said, yes, our kids are watching, other people are watching, neighbors, friends, coworkers, ex-family, all of that. I know sometimes we don't even want to think we're that bad, right? So we don't always want to talk about all the stuff, and we don't necessarily have to. It depends. Again, let the Lord lead you if it's edifying, if there's a reason. But our kids look at us. Again, I'm going to go back to them. They look at us. They know us. They see us behind closed doors. It's okay to tell them I missed it.
Yeah.
I just apologized to my daughter on Friday. I said, if I ever portrayed God to you in this certain light, along the lines of what our conversation was about, I apologize. I said, I'm going to be going to, and she knew this, I'm going to be going to visit your brother in July, and I intend to apologize to him. You're here with me now. I'm apologizing to you right now. If I ever caused you to think of God in this light, I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I know better now, and I'm telling you better now. It's okay to say I missed it.
Yes.
It was a shortcoming. This was a flaw in my character. And just go ahead and get that thing right, because guess what? Once again, you have great influence in your children's lives. Now, as a believer, as somebody who's indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, that God lives and dwells in you by his Spirit and all that power. And you don't think that he can take your past now and he can say, you know what? I missed it. I was flawed. But to God be the glory, he's taken and he's done something with
us. He wants us to come to him like that. Yeah.
Come on. He can turn that thing around. So we have that potential. We have that influence. We've got that guy living on the inside of us. So we can influence them for bad, for evil, for whatever we were just talking about, to go down the same wrong path. Then we can definitely influence them to go down the right path, the godly path, the narrow way.
Right.
We definitely have influence for that as well. The Bible speaks of, and go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, because the whole chapter, Jesus is dealing with hypocrisy. and he is calling out the religious leaders of that day. And he is just, he's got a big, huge mirror. He's like saying, look at yourselves.
Look at yourselves.
He calls them hypocrites. He's calling them hypocrites some seven times. He calls them fools. He calls them serpents and vipers. And he is not backing down. And this is one of the key things that he says in the 15th verse of Matthew 23. He talks about them going and they cross the sea. They go to all these great lengths just to get one convert. No, so all of this, you just turn about one convert, and then you turn around and you make that, you make him two times worse than you are. It says twofold more of a child of hell than yourself. With that in mind, people of God, believers, you have influence, not just even in your children's lives the way we're talking about right now, but even beyond, because that great God that I was just talking about, he dwells in you. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. He lives in you. You have great influence. Be careful of that. Be mindful of that. Guard yourself against the pretense and hypocrisy, because people are watching. You have the influence in their lives. You can alter the course of events in people's lives, believe it or not.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
With your lifestyle.
Yes. Can you say that again?
With your lifestyle, we need to be careful when it comes to the pretenses and hypocrisy. Now, understand this, because a lot of it, you know, all the stuff that's going around, Christians, hypocrites, and all of this, and all the changes that are going on in our society, and people don't really want to speak against things that we know are morally wrong. We don't want to speak up for the things that we know are morally right. Again, going by God's standards and not our own. How do you know God's standards? Go to his word. He'll reveal it to you. Then in his presence, he'll reveal to you his heart in the way he wants you to walk and where he wants you to walk. So if you're not doing that, you may not know. You may not know the moral way. You may not know the right way. But there is a right way.
There is a way.
A moral way. And we have to be careful to protect that because of the great influence that we do have. It may not look like it on the surface of all that's going on in this day and age, but I'm telling you, stand firm, finish strong, stand firm. Don't back away from what you know. Not now. Now's not the time to back down, not the time to back away and say, oh, it doesn't take all of that. It takes all of that and then some.
It takes all of that and then some. And it takes it daily, Demetria. And it takes it, you know, grabbing the hand of someone else, another fellow believer, to lean on that person, to glean from that person. So, you know, it really does. And to constantly be encouraged by someone else, because it's a daily process. It's every single day. We wake up, we're faced with something where we can fall, and we have to kind of hold each other up and hold each other's hand. And you said something, you know, and I constantly, the scripture sticks with me in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study, y'all. That's pretty much what saved my life. It saved my life. And then I can go and talk to someone and ask questions about what I'm learning and what I've read, and then, you know, pray to God and ask him to give me understanding and revelation on what I've read. And you often keep hearing Demetria say, let the Spirit lead you. That's one of those ways that God will lead you. He left us this guidebook. Y'all, he left us this for us not to make it so difficult. And again, you'll see all through it where some folks made some mistakes just like you and I made.
That's right.
But there was a Savior that was right there.
And we will make more mistakes.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. And there was a Savior to walk right to walk with us, to hold our hand, to walk before us, to, you know, to correct us along the way. And so I know we're getting ready to close, and we keep talking about the heart, and just something that I always ask God to search my heart, to search my heart. And and my old buddy David, he said the same thing. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me You know, like, test me. You know, figure out, not figure out, because God knows, show me those things that are in me and know my thoughts. He said, know my thoughts, God. And he said, and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So, again, this is a man that was a father, and he made some poor choices, and he constantly was seeking God to search his heart, crying out to God to remove those things from me. And, you know, and we can say that daily, huh, Demetria? Every single day we can go to God with that daily. Search me, O Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Remove any wickedness from me.
That's right. And, you know, it may not be comfortable, but go through it. He knows what's best. He is not out to destroy us, you. He's not out to hurt us. He wants to bring us closer to him and have us be in right standing with him. He's a holy God. We have to approach him the way he wants to be approached. So he has some standards, and we have to meet his standards. He doesn't conform to ours. We have to conform to his. And it's not, it shouldn't be burdensome. He's not out to get us. I just want to say, he's not out to get us.
Not a boogeyman.
We're not nails. He's not a hammer, and he's not waiting to pound us. So he is a loving God, but he does have a standard. He is a holy God. So we have to be careful of the way we approach him, the way we represent him, the way our awe of him. We should be in awe of him. We should be careful of him. Again, pretense and hypocrisy is not the way to go. Remember, he really does know our hearts. He really does.
He knows our hearts. He knows
our hearts. Let him show us our hearts, because if there is any wicked way in us, let him burn it out. Let him clean it out so that we can be that pure gold. So when it's time for things to be shaken off, let the process take its course.
Let it happen.
It may not feel good for the moment, but believe me, there's a better day coming, and you'll know that it was worth it. I'm telling you, it's worth it. I'm saying that this side of heaven, that it's worth it. I haven't gone to the other side yet. I haven't seen a vision or a glimpse, but I'm telling you, I know it's worth it. I believe it. It's worth
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So I encourage anyone listening as we head out to make Psalms 139, 23, 24 a part of your prayer life. Just constantly, daily asking God to search out your heart and to cleanse that heart.
Yes, and we are signing off. Thank you for joining us for this latest segment of Ministry Along the Way. It's been fun. It's been fun. I've enjoyed this conversation. Very insightful.
Good night, guys. Good night, Andrea.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.